From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now, and there is something unusual going on in Washington. A $1.1 trillion budget bill appears to be about to pass through both houses of Congress in a matter of days. Yesterday, the House passed it with broad bipartisan support, and the Senate is expected to follow suit. So is bipartisanship breaking out all over, or is it something else? Maybe something in those 1,582 pages that looks like pork. Republican Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona is with us. Senator Flake, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So are you going to vote for this?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
Well, I think we've had just a couple of days to look at it. That's not nearly enough time for a budget of this magnitude. And also it includes spending that I think in times like this we just shouldn't be doing.
Well, why do you think it is sailing through so quickly? Because, of course, in the past few years, nothing has gone through quickly like this.
Probably just fatigue, I guess. You know, I would think that, you know, given the deficits we're running, the debt we're accumulating, that we'd be a little more careful. But we're not, and that's unfortunate.
Well, the other thing that some people may look at is these things that I know nobody's calling earmarks, but they certainly look a lot like earmarks.
Yeah, fortunately, over the past couple of years, we have banned the practice of earmarking, ostensibly. There's still things that look a lot like earmarking, like you say. The truth is that in its heyday, back in 2005, 2006, there were some 16,000 earmarks, about $40 billion worth spread across the appropriation bills. So the practice has been largely marginalized, at least, and that's a good thing. But a lot of the programs that grew up during the earmark era just continue in these agencies and continued in the president's budget or directed by congressmen.
Well, what do you call what's in this bill if they're not earmarks?
Well, directed funding, I guess you would say. People in position on the appropriations committees are in a position to more easily make sure their programs of choice continue to get funded. But it has, like I said, it's been marginalized largely. There's far, far, far less of it that's happening now. And, you know, sometimes it takes a form of letter marking or calling the agencies, asking them to continue funding. And, you know, the agencies know who butters their bread, too. And so they're not wanting to go against any direction from appropriators.
But when you see, a member of Congress claiming credit for $404 million coming into his home state to study foreign animal disease outbreaks, or a number of other representatives saying, isn't this great? We got more money to widen the roads next to the border. That does look a lot like earmarks. In fact, Steve Ellis of the Taxpayers for Common Sense group says these are earmark-esque or earmark-ish. Do you agree with that?
Yes, but let's keep in mind that members that claim credit back during the earmark era for things that they didn't have much to do with, spending that was a result of formula funding or grants that local communities had applied for. So members are prone to take credit even when they have little to do with it. So I'm not sure that we can use those statements or press releases as proxy for, you know, getting earmarks. Having said that, it's still troubling that there's more directed funding or whatever you want to call it still out there, and it's largely wasteful as well.
And, you know, we have to say, as we mentioned, this thing is sailing right through. Do you think that one of the reasons that not much has been able to get done in the last few years is because this is the way that business gets done in Washington? You've got to have some pork for members of Congress to go home and crow about.
You know, there's been a lot made of that, especially after the film Lincoln, and I certainly won't deny that earmarks sometimes grease the skids for bills to get through. But it's not as important as people think, and we got to a point 2005, 2006, and I'm not blaming Democrats here. Republicans were in charge at that time, where it was highly corrupting and hugely wasteful. And so we did the right thing by banning the practice, even if you can't snuff it all out. But there's still a lot of wasteful spending, whether or not it's directed by individual members of Congress, and that's what concerns me most.
One more thing I want to ask you about, Senator. You voted with some of your fellow Republicans to block a bill that would have restored unemployment benefits to some of the long-term unemployed. This is an issue that's been talked about a lot over the last month or so. Why did you do that? Why do you think these people who've been out of work for a long time should not continue to receive unemployment benefits?
I'm just saying we ought to be able to offset it with not gimmicks, and that's what was offered. The vote that I took and many of my colleagues took against cloture would have allowed the bill to proceed that used simply gimmicks, basically extend the sequester on Medicare reimbursement that everyone knows, is just a gimmick rather than finding offsets. And we need to do that. We have a massive debt, obviously, and a deficit that's still too large, even if it's coming down, and we've got to take that into consideration.
But in the meantime, what would you tell the, looks like, 22,500 Arizonans who are going to be losing their benefits in the next 6 months?
I'd say to keep the pressure on for Congress to actually do its job, and that's to find bills that can pass that actually have offsets that don't add to the debt and the deficit. Just keep in mind that when we do this without offsetting it, we simply give the bill to somebody else. Our kids and grandkids, and that's not very compassionate at all.
Senator Jeff Flake, Republican of Arizona. Thanks so much for joining us, Senator.
Hey, thanks for having me on.